All right, so that was all pretty straightforward because you've already done the histology, you've already had the lectures on it. A couple of issues to remind you about, and that is when this preovulatory follicle is released from the surface, the remainder of that follicle will fuse back up again and will form the what? Corpus luteum. So it's still got a role even after the egg's released in formation of the corpus luteum. Remember that the follicle development is in from the outer cortical layer, so as we get development we go deeper in and closer towards the maternal blood vessels here. The other feature to mention is that the atretic follicles, I've given you a couple of examples here, generally when you're looking for that appearance, you're looking for the follicles which look like they're beginning to collapse. So they're not nicely inflated with lots of follicular fluid. As the granulosa cells begin to degenerate, they don't keep secreting the fluid into the space, and you see a general collapse of the follicular cavity. So that would be the hallmark, I suppose, for an atretic follicle. The next thing I'd like to talk about is a comparison between the development of the gamete in the female and the gamete in the male. These two diagrams that I've put on the second page are mainly not so much about the different stages in gametogenesis, but about meiosis. So comparing meiosis in the female with meiosis in the male. And there's an important concept I'd like you to get from these two diagrams, and that is meiosis isn't a cycle to start with, as you'll see everywhere, but we get duplication of DNA initially, and we go through meiosis 1 and meiosis 2, and in the female oogenesis, or development of the egg, there are substantial differences from the male. Firstly, the process takes a very long time. Egg development takes years. The fully mature haploid oocyte will only occur at the stage at fertilization, because that's when it will complete meiosis. So let's run through this. When we get development of the follicle, we go through all the stages of meiosis 1, and we only complete meiosis 1 at ovulation. So when the egg is released from the ovary, meiosis 1 is completed. It then commences meiosis 2 and arrests again. So the egg has not completed meiosis 2. It arrests at metaphase 2, where the chromosomes are lined up, and will only complete meiosis 2 if fertilization occurs. If it doesn't occur, then it will never complete meiosis 2. A second unique feature of oogenesis in the female is that normally when we talk about meiosis, we talk about generating four haploid cells from a single diploid cell in meiosis. In oogenesis, we generate one haploid cell and three polar bodies from a single diploid cell. So we only ever generate one haploid cell. The polar body represents the exclusion body of the excess DNA that isn't required to generate that haploid cell. So we generate the first haploid body, the first polar body, in the end of meiosis 1. We exclude it to the periphery, it's full of the DNA that isn't forming a cell. When we complete meiosis 2, then the developing oocyte pushes to the periphery the additional DNA again and forms a second polar body. So there'll be always two polar bodies excluded to the periphery of a mature oocyte. In some cases, you may observe in development of the oocyte a third polar body, and this third polar body exists because this first polar body can also undergo the second meiotic division and divide into two components.
not always, but sometimes, the first polar body will divide into two, generating the first and third polar body. So we end up with a single mature oocyte that's haploid. In comparison, in the male, we have a diploid spermatogonia. It undergoes mitosis to generate a large population of diploid cells. This continues through life. These are the stem cells that generate sperm. It undergoes the first meiosis and second meiosis, all within the wall of the seminiferous tubule. And if you're trying to organise the positioning of this meiosis, then if you start from the... Where's my diagram? If you start from the spermatogonia on the basal layer out here, adjacent to the connective tissue surrounding the outside of the seminiferous tubule and some smooth muscle cells, then maturation goes in this direction. The closer you are to the lumen, the more differentiated the spermatozoa is. Until when we reach the luminal surface, we've gotten to the stage of a haploid spermatid. And these spermatids need to complete their development by undergoing spermiogenesis. And spermiogenesis converts the round haploid spermatid into the shape of a sperm that we recognise in all of the diagrams. So these things here with a head and a tail and a midpiece, this is the spermiogenesis process that occurs of the haploid cell. Another feature which I've just added to this second diagram is that when it undergoes meiosis, all of these cells in development remain connected by cytoplasmic bridges, in that the cells don't complete cytokinesis, and they only become separated from each other when they undergo that transformation at the end to become spermatids and they shed the majority of the cytoplasmic volume. So we end up with four spermatozoa from every one of our diploid cells. We don't throw away any of the genetic material. There are two times for recombination and separation here. Each one of these will be genetically different from each other. This is the mature shape, and you can see now that it's about 60 microns in length and has a motile tail. We divide it into three regions, the head up here, which consists of mainly the nucleus and a small vesicle on the end of the nucleus called the acrosome. And the acrosome has been formed from the Golgi apparatus of the cell. It's full of enzymes to degrade the zona pellucida. We've got a neck region, a short neck region behind the nucleus, and then the vast majority of the tail here. In the midpiece, this portion here, we see packed into this region all of the mitochondria wrapped around the microtubules that provide all of the energy for motility. And when they run out of energy, the sperm runs out of go as well. It's no longer motile. And I think the guess is it's about 72 hours until it runs out of zip. The tail itself, the motility of the tail is generated by a system of microtubules that have the same organisation that we see in the cilia of cells, and that is nine microtubules around two middle ones, and as they move with respect to each other, it bends the tail. The last thing I'll point out to you on this page is describing some abnormalities that can occur in both systems. For the female gametogenesis, the most common abnormality that we're going to talk about and consider clinically is Down syndrome, or trisomy 21, where we get an abnormal segregation of chromosomes such that the cell ends up with an extra copy of chromosome 21. There are other trisomies that can occur as well, but a far lower frequency than trisomy 21. And the vast majority of other major chromosomal or genetic abnormalities are lost in the first 2 weeks of development, because it won't be able to undergo normal cell division, it won't undergo normal implantation, so we get rid of the vast majority, it's thought of the major genetic abnormalities in those first 2 weeks prior to implantation. The other types of aneuploidies or abnormal genetic material can also occur with the sex chromosome. I've given you three examples here that also relate to excess or a missing chromosome. In the male, it's not so important about that, but it does crop up. What we're mainly interested in male development or male abnormalities is the presence or absence of sperm. So oligospermia is a low sperm count. It's defined as having less than 20 million sperm after abstaining for sex for 72 hours. So that's how much can you generate. Azoospermia, which is the absence of sperm. This can occur if the duct system of the internal genital tract is blocked or if there are problems with generation of the sperm themselves. And the third major form of male infertility is immotile cilia syndrome. That is when the tail of the sperm is not motile and the sperm cannot swim up through the cervix into the uterus to fertilise. When we talk about the ejaculate itself, you should realise that the spermatozoa only represent a very small fraction of the total volume of the ejaculate, probably less than 10%, and in that 10% volume will be 200 to 600 million spermatozoa. The vast majority of the rest of the volume of the ejaculate is generated by the accessory glands of the internal male genital tract. I'll stop there and ask some questions to the tutors about gametogenesis and the male sperm.